Recently on the Wastewaters podcast, you heard Mr. Chris say,
I came into across, not to bury the lead, but I came across in my reviews in the last week or so, like moves that have like 9 or 10 separate moves. So it, and they're just like scattered. Some of them look like someone took a shotgun against a map. Hello, agents, trainers, keepers, pilots, hunters, eighth wallers, and our beloved explorers and wayfinders. Welcome to episode 122 of the Wayspotters podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you become a better wayfinder. Wayspotters is brought to you by the good people at the Pokemon Professor Network. Today is Thursday, May 16th, and with me, as always, is Jamal. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, man, it's Thursday. What do you know? We're recording on a Thursday.
Day early this week. It's a long weekend up here, so I'm excited.
Nice, nice. Awesome. Yeah, it's...
We've got a good show planned.
I'm so excited.
It's a big one.
So excited for this.
But first, before we get into that, let's drop the news.
All right, let's go to the news. Let's hear from my buddy Testone with this. It's my favorite part of the show, one of the favorite parts.
And now, the latest Niantic news from the Wayspotters podcast, presented by the Pokemon Professor Network.
All right, the Wayfarer Challenge has started. Couple things. Let me refresh my screen. We are at 22,798 resolutions, so we are more than halfway, about halfway to Tier 1. They added a Tier 4 this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody has checked out GoHub, my article that I wrote there. We'll share the link in the description and the show notes. Yeah, they added a Tier 4, and the rewards are pretty good. So yeah,
the rewards are great.
Check it out, and if you're not opted in, I recommend that you do so.
Yes, we are.
All you got to do is 50.
We're flying right now. I mean, we are at 23,000. We are flying. We're going to hit 145,000 easy. So I'm really excited about this.
For sure, we're gonna probably surpass that. I think it's gonna start really picking up once it gets into the U.S.
Yeah.
When we don't have to Google Translate everything, right. Which is actually probably good because it's cooling people down, like it's slowing people down, so they're not getting cooldowns if they have to Google Translate everything.
And so. I was talking about this with some of my locals yesterday. The fact that it's edits, people can really motor through these things. They can just like 8 seconds and they're off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I got a lot of edits too, so this should be fantastic. I'm excited. I'm excited to get back into the U.S. too.
Yes. Oh, all right. And that just reminds me before we get started, Canada can't catch a stray, like nothing.
No.
Like I'm like so close. Like I was rooting for Canada. I was really, really rooting for Canada. I put something on the Wayfarer forums and nothing, man. I thought for sure they'd go, okay, we'll get, no, nothing at all. Sorry, man. I tried.
No. I know. I appreciate it. And hopefully maybe next time. Or maybe we'll catch a little bit of a stray at the end of this challenge when we're starting to run out of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
So we were going to talk about removing things this week. But Niantic dropped a very large new section on the forum called Criteria Clarification Collection. And we need to talk about it.
Yes, so we
let's
do.
Let's start topic number one.
All right, here we go.
Topic number one.
All right, so if you haven't seen it yet, Niantic dropped a bunch, and I mean a bunch, of criteria clarifications. Like that, there's, I think I counted 18 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And each section, you can click into it, and it will, it's got, some of them have pictures, it's got good things, some of them have bad things. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's great. They took a lot of time on this. Like this was a good update. Did.
Yes. So I want to read Tintino's post real quick.
Okay.
As mentioned before the move to our new forum, here's the post collecting the criteria clarifications we've made on the forums in the past. We made sure to work with the ambassadors to ensure we didn't miss any vital information on categories we've elaborated on in the past. Keep in mind that meeting eligibility and acceptance criteria does not mean the nomination should get all thumbs up in the review. That is key.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that later, too. Use your best judgment about whether a contribution is significant enough and appropriate for the Niantic map and use available reviewing options as needed. Also, seeing an already approved waste spot within any game doesn't mean that this or similar nominations meet the acceptance criteria. Just because it's on the map doesn't mean it's eligible. I don't know how many times we've said that.
I think they just answered, like, there's like people all around the world that are like backing away from the keyboard going, oh, I don't need to ask this question.
Yeah. Yeah. If still in doubt, feel free to leverage available resources such as the Wayfarer Help Center or reach out to community in review support. So I think that was fantastic. Yeah. So I know you've read through them all. I wanted to get your overall opinion on the criteria clarification as a whole before we get started.
Overall, Chris, I think this was well needed and perfectly timed to go along with Challenge Season, Go Fest Season. Now, I don't agree with everything, but I don't think anybody expected everyone was going to agree with it. But what I do like is it seems like they went back in the history of all the questions and kind of collated the most asked questions and came out with answers to those specific questions. Like, we've wanted a clarification on pools. We wanted a clarification on benches. We wanted a clarification on military bases. We wanted clarification on cemeteries. Like, all of the things that people wring hands about and people get in these elaborate arguments about, they've kind of gone through and said, all right, here's the new lay of the land. What I also like, Chris, that this does is this puts to bed the 2019, the 2022, you know, all of these old AMAs where people would go and quote something from, you know, Niantic Casey, who's not even on the property anymore. He's on a different property. They'd go and say, well, Niantic Casey said this back in 2019, but Tintino said this in 2022. This just kind of wipes that all away. And like now we're going to be quoting stuff from May 15th, 2023. And I love that.
Yeah, 2024.
I'm not living in the past. 2024,
Yeah, 2024. It's like, Niantic has time machines, I'm convinced of it.
Oh, they do, for sure.
Five stars, 100%. This is fantastic. And it's nothing new. This is all stuff that they've clarified in the past, but you're right. They've taken the very, very latest clarification for every single category and posted it here with pictures. Described beautifully. Tintino did a really good job posting all this stuff, and the ambassadors and the team did a fantastic job kind of curating all of this for us, and I think it's amazing. And you're right, there are things in here that I just definitely disagree with, but this is what I have said in the past. It's not our map, it's Niantic's map, and we're just curating it for them.
Correct.
We're gonna go through each topic, taking turns for each one. They're going to be a little bit out of order from what you see on the forum. So if you're kind of following along while you're listening to this on the forums, we're going to jump around a little bit for reasons that I'm sure you'll pick up on as we go along. I may have curated a couple of the sections for Jamal specifically.
Yeah, for entertainment purposes only. I noticed that.
As I said in a group chat, I'm like, I'm just going to let you talk about this one. I'm going to lean back and sip my coffee.
All right. You want me to go first?
All right. Deep breath. Let's go.
All right. So the first one we're going to go over is architecture. And nothing really groundbreaking here, to be honest. So there's a couple of key lines out of this section, but I'll go over those. So some cities have dominant architectural styles. God, I can't talk today. And every single building in every area may have features that are in that style. So as a result, those features may not be considered unique. Ruins with no signs but are well-maintained and safe access can also be considered eligible. So I think if you take a look at the pictures on there, some of those buildings that just look iconic, it doesn't necessarily have to be old. It could be a newer building, but just something with very unique styling or something that is very stands out in the area from the norm is something that works well in this section. And I'm glad they clarified that, because this just says to me that just because something is old, it qualifies. It can be something new, but of a very stylistic look to it, something gothic or something like that. So I'm glad they clarified architecture in this section.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. And there's a running theme in a lot of these clarifications that a lot of people get hung up on is it doesn't need a sign.
Right.
Right. Ruins with no sign but are well maintained and safe access are considered eligible, and that goes for a lot of different things. Right. So
if I go to Stonehenge and there's no sign, that Stonehenge can't get in here. There's no signs. There's no sign on that pyramid there. Well, you know, okay, let's
and that's exactly
it. Think critically about this.
There's this whole right. Yeah, exactly. All right. I had originally, just for the YouTube people, I had every single one of these tabs open, but then I had like 60 tabs on the top of my, it was just overwhelming, so I closed them all. So when you click on the categories, it automatically defaults you to the bottom, which is
I don't know why it does that.
Unique art is number two. This was a good one for me. Nominators should use official title and credit the artist when possible. I don't know how many times I've come across the description mural, right? And it's especially the ones where the artist has signed the mural in the bottom right hand corner. It'd be like, right, the guy's name's right there, the girl's name's right there.
It's got their Instagram tag
even
right
if you
there.
Put in their handle,
right? It's right there.
Like, come on, credit where credit is due, mm-hmm, right? There's a lot of, it's like, works of art are generally eligible as long as they are unique, distinct, and permanent. This can include indoor artwork, framed and murals, and museum exhibits that are intended to be permanent. Some of these street murals are fantastic. There's one of a gentleman with his kid on his shoulders looking at out at a soccer field. There's a big smoke explosion in the background in the stands because it's probably European football.
Right.
There is graffiti can be good. Mm-hmm. This is another thing a lot of people get hung up on. If it's unique and it tells a story and it's not likely to be removed by the city.
Right. Like the next one you're going to show.
But things like this one. So this is like an electrical box that's been tagged by six or seven different graffiti artists with their names in their little stylized stuff. And it looks kind of cool, but people are tagging over other people and it's just a hot mess, right? Mm-hmm. So something like that is very likely to be removed by the city.
Right. And painted over, whitewashed, however you want to say it.
Right, exactly. Business signage. Unique artistic merit can make a sign eligible. This would include one of a kind or created by a local artist or being distinctive and noteworthy in the local community. So the one example that they have here is McDonald's. That's a no-go because it's a corporate logo.
Right.
But I can't even, some of these you can click on, some of them you can. It's weird. There's a mural for a little grocery store and it's got some fruit in there. It's basically like a fruit garden. Mm-hmm. That's acceptable. A hammer. Like a sculpture of a hammer inside of a hardware store.
That might be my favorite. That's a really good point of view right there.
There's one down the street from me. Let me pull this one up real quick. It's a lighting store, and their sign in front of their store is a light bulb.
Hmm.
So this has got nominated, and that got approved, right? It's unique kind of architecture and art. You wouldn't think of kind of business signs as being art, but they absolutely can.
They absolutely can. Yeah.
So
I've seen one. I've seen one that was a sign for a restaurant, and it was a ladle. And people will go and sit in the ladle and take pictures.
Nice.
Okay, that's pretty creative.
Yeah, stuff like that. Eligible. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's a good way to get a restaurant in.
Absolutely. Yes. All right. So the next one, we'll move on to the next one. And the next one is seating benches. So memorial benches can be eligible under the criteria for exploration if they are dedicated to a noble figure and that nobility is described in the nomination. So benches with or without plaques can encourage exploration if they are at an anchor with a significant point, such as a scenic viewpoint. So when I look at this one, this always reminds me of a friend of the show, Scrowny Meow, and mm-hmm. some of the things that he posts. This even looks like one of his pictures that he would post from the Columbia Gorge. Just something that's... What's that?
It very well might be.
Yeah,
I
think that might be his right there. So I think that the key thing here is benches with or without plaques can encourage exploration if they are an anchor at a significant point, such as the scenic viewpoint. So it doesn't have to have It doesn't have to have a sign, just like you said before. It doesn't have to have a plaque. But what's important is that it's an anchor point somewhere. So there's been lots, like I said, there's been lots of hand-wringing when it comes to, memorial benches and when it comes to scenic viewpoints. So I think this is a really good way to kind of clarify it and let you know what they're thinking of. So I want to read this part from Tintino. So mass-produced memorial benches dedicated to friends and family are not eligible unless the nominator provides evidence of the individual's importance to the community. Just stating someone was important to the community is inadequate. Because I can walk up to any bench and it says Bob Smith, and I can say Bob Smith was very important to the community. But if I don't explain why or who Bob Smith is, it's just Bob Smith. So.
Yeah, I completely agree. And there are thousands of generic, and I hate to use the word generic because people aren't generic, but non-notable memorial benches that people have just paid for to memorialize their family members. Yeah. And that's great.
Yeah.
And then fantastic. It doesn't make them eligible.
Right.
And there are thousands on the map. There's hundreds on the map in Oshawa. So there's a lot. I see them all the time in my reviews. I'm just like, sorry. All right. Next we've got, let me pull up, military bases. Nominations of or within military bases are generally ineligible. However, if the nomination is of a park or public area that is open to residents of the base or the general public in the military base, it will meet our eligibility criteria. So here's basically, because so what this boils down to, if it's not restricted to military personnel only, it's mm-hmm. not ineligible. So it can be eligible. It still has to pass the eligibility criteria. Just because it's on a military base doesn't preclude it from correct. Being accepted. And a lot of people are just like, no, it's on a military base.
Right.
But that doesn't mean if it's in like a place where you can bring your aunt
exactly.
who's in town to visit, that's eligible.
Right. And I think that's a great distinction they make, that a public place on a military base is okay.
Exactly.
It comes down to communication.
They shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's a couple pictures are looks like a decommissioned helicopter with a couple of plaques there. That's eligible. Pergola with some picnic tables in it so you can have lunch outside with your family. That's eligible. And I think that's a big one for a lot of people is they see military base and they're just like,
Right.
So.
Like, you wouldn't want to nominate the barracks at a military base. That would definitely be off limits. So you wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So moving right along, let's go on to number 5, cemeteries and other sensitive locations. This is where I start to feel picked on and that you're giving me things to read that are increasingly personal here. Because I've been a big proponent of some of these, so I'm starting to see that we're going to start going out of order here, and Jamal's going to get certain ones. So let's start with this one. All right. So sensitive locations such as funeral homes, burial grounds, cemeteries, and graveyards should generally be avoided out of respect. But gravestones belonging to historical figures or significant community figures can be eligible if the nominator provides evidence for their historical importance. Places that eulogize slavery, racism, or other acts of oppression and portray them in a positive light are not eligible and should be rejected as sensitive locations. For example, sites in the U.S. such as Confederate cemeteries, grave sites, and memorials are not eligible unless the site is now part of a museum that provides educational value. Proper evidence must be provided that the site is used for such purposes. So let's talk about that for a second, Chris. As you know, here in my town, we have a very, very, very large historic cemetery that everybody who plays the Niantic Games goes to farm up and get things. And it's very respectfully done, and people really give reverence to the cemetery. Now, nothing new is ever going to get approved in the cemetery because of the clarification, but one of the things that I want to make sure people understand is burial grounds and other places, funeral homes, or places where people go to grieve. And, I've told my wife this when I first started playing Niantic Games, she's like, doesn't it creep you out going into the cemetery? And I always look at, is it a dead cemetery or is it a live cemetery? And that's kind of the distinction I make for me. The cemetery that we all play in is from like the 1700s and 1800s because there's, you know, Charlotte is old. They don't do a lot of new burials there because it's full. And it's all like, I think that the most recent ones were like the early 1900s. So I kind of consider that a quote unquote dead cemetery. It's more of a memorial place versus some other cemeteries where there's a funeral there every day. That's more of a, what I call a live cemetery. Now, I know I'm splitting hairs. And I know some people might say a burial ground is a burial ground, but that's kind of how I look at it. So I like the pictures here. So if you can go to the first picture, and this provides a good example of a gravesite that's important to the community and can be considered eligible with the proper context. So Harvey Pekar was a famous comic book artist, and his fans have come to leave pens and markers at his gravesite to memorialize him. So the activity, it's been approved by the family and the cemetery, and it helps make a unique point of interest. So that's one where, with a little bit of context and a little bit of explanation, you can see why this would be a very good point of interest for this particular cemetery. Churches, crosses, chapels, shrines, war veteran memorials, these are all ones that are good. One of the things that I think is interesting that, Chris, I want to get your take on is, you know, the picture that you're looking at now for the audio viewers is a picture of a church and a steeple. And it says the chapels above are great examples of unique architecture within cemeteries that can be assessed by the public. And so my eye automatically gets drawn to the top of the POI because there's a couple of crosses on top of churches and on top of graves that you can't necessarily walk up and touch. But I'm reading this and interpreting that is now eligible. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and I completely agree. Niantic has long said that like it's suspended art. So if it's an art piece that's kind of up on the wall, as long as you can get underneath it, then it's eligible, right? So I think this kind of falls under that category. Because they say, oh, you have to get up and touch the thing, right? But if it's suspended above you and you can get underneath it, that's enough to make it eligible.
Right.
And I think the big thing with cemeteries is respect, right?
Yeah, like, for sure.
The cemetery that you play in, there's unlikely to be somebody at a gravestone kind of having a moment with their loved one. It's if they're all from the 1700s or 1800s, right?
Yes. It's great-great-great-grandfather, grandmother, you know, yeah. Like that. Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Right.
And then the final thing on this is making sure that you understand that in certain jurisdictions, there's also legal considerations that need to be taken into account, such, you know, Auschwitz, you know, concentration camps. You know, these are places that are still actively mourned, but they're used in more of an educational setting. But make sure that you would reject those out of sensitivity because some of those are used in a very negative political outlook, like especially like in the U.S. with some of the Confederate cemeteries and Confederate monuments. You just want to make sure that, you know, just like your parents always told you, make good decisions. You know, put your thinking hat on and don't be that guy. So there we go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, let's move on to sports fields. This one's going to be super quick. I'm just going to show you a picture, and that's it. Basically, the entire slide is, if it's a sports field and it's not on K-12 or any somebody sensitive, it's eligible. Don't put the pin in the middle of the field.
Right. Don't do it.
So the picture is a soccer pitch, and there's a big red dot in the middle, and it says interferes with a thumbs down. And there's a green dot at the entrance with a thumbs up that says entrance. And then there's a green dot on the side. It says side with a thumbs up. So put it on the side or at the entrance, not in the middle of the field, because I hate that. If I get a sports field nomination and the pin is in the middle of the field, I'm picking where that pin goes. Sorry about your luck.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Like it's
going in my corner.
Default. Yep, my default for a baseball diamond is right behind home plate.
Yep.
I don't care if it's on top of another pin or beside another pin or in the same cell as another pin. That's where it's going. So if you've got six or seven different cells where this can go in, pick one on the side appropriately. Please and thank you.
People came after me on Discord last night about, oh, Jamal, they're coming after your dugouts. I'm like, shut your mouth. Not in the middle. All right. So moving on. Oh, wow. Swimming pools. I see what you're doing here, Chris. I see what you're doing here. Swimming pools should have been yours, but I will take it. All right. So community pools and those associated with sports facilities can make great nominations and should be considered eligible. While nominating, you should keep in mind that it should be a place where people can go to exercise or be social with others, a place of entertainment and fun. It's important to choose a pin placement on the side of the pool that respects and does not interfere with the use of the pool and is a safe location. So this is a significant departure from before, where it couldn't be at a hotel and it couldn't be, you know, aside from private residence, there was a lot of stipulations of where it could be. Now, it starts off by saying community pools or those associated with sports facilities can make great nominations. It should be considered eligible. So there's going to be a little bit of hand-wringing here. That's my catchphrase for this episode. There's going to be some hand-wringings on this one as to whether a hotel pool is a community location, if that's a community pool. So I see where Niantic is going here. They're kind of saying, you know, read between the lines, and I like that. I really like it when they give us just enough gray area that we can go and quote-unquote sell it and make our POI nomination. So I'm okay with this.
Yep, me too. I think that the one of the big themes here is things are publicly accessible, don't have to be publicly accessible to everyone, right? And things like a hotel pool, sure, it's only available to the hotel guests, but it's available to the hotel guests.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Right?
100%.
Things like in a theme park, they're only accessible to the theme park.
If you have a ticket. Patrons, yep.
But they're available to the theme park patrons, and those are members of the public. So it's eligible. Yep. And I think this is fantastic. All right, moving on to number 8, water fountains. Accessible, good, in the middle of a lake, bad. It's essentially the crux of this page. They show a picture of a water fountain in, it looks like an outdoor mall, which
that's,
is really cool.
It's really cool. Decorative and stuff. I like that.
It's made of metal, and it's got some gears on it. It's fantastic. And then they show, which that's great, thumbs up. And then they show a water fountain in the middle of a pond. That's not good. I see this one a lot. If you can't get up and touch it, it's not eligible. Just because you can touch the water doesn't mean it's eligible.
And that's not even a water fountain. That's more of a
pond aerator is what they call it.
Yes, a pond aerator. Yes.
It's a utility located in the middle of the water. That's not what.
No. So absolutely.
That's a quick and easy one.
Very easy. All right. We are going to go to, picnic areas. Okay. There's a story behind picnic areas that I will tell you if you find me at GoFest. And that's all I'm going to say about it. Find me at GoFest, ask me about picnic areas, and I have a story to tell you. However, all right. So picnic areas, they're a great place to be social. I agree. Editorial comment. Note. Not that a picnic area with a group of tables consists of one nomination. However, not all picnic areas are eligible across the board. For example, a picnic table on a single family private residence should not be accepted. Picnic areas and tables that appear to be permanent, even if not bolted to the ground, like those above, are a great place for socialization. I can say, and Chris knows this, that I agree with that statement 100%. Mm-hmm. Picnic tables, picnic areas and tables that appear to be permanent, even if they're not bolted to the ground, are great places to hang out. So,
yes.
And I don't think we need to go on with that. That's good. Good job.
Yep. I put in the notes, no one's going to walk away with 8 picnic tables. Just stop it. It's eligible.
Right. Exactly right. That's for sure.
All right, number 10. So this is one that we're jumping ahead a little bit because I wanted to talk about it, and it's now my turn. So generic, non-generic businesses. There are many stores, restaurants, and businesses that may seem generic or not notable at first glance, but can be eligible with the proper supporting information. Restaurants can be great places to be social and great places to explore and should not be rejected in all cases. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Local restaurants and cafes in all areas have interesting backgrounds, exceptional menus, or are highly rated places that someone might recommend to an out-of-town visitor.
Yes.
In more rural areas, a chain restaurant may be an extremely popular local hotspot. Supporting information can make this clear in all instances, and it is helpful to provide links to newspaper articles or reviews if available. This one's a big one for me.
Yes.
Restaurants.
This is your hill to die on right here.
Yes. Yes. And I firmly believe that more restaurants should get approved than not. But this is one of those things that you really need to kind of sell your nomination, mm-hmm. right? And you need to tell the reviewer why it's not just a run-of-the-mill chicken place or run-of-the-mill coffee shop, right? So put the effort in. I hate it when I see restaurant nominations and it's just like good food.
Yeah. That doesn't tell me anything. Doesn't tell you.
Right? Like, come on.
Right.
My parents' place is very, very rural where they live, and there's a chain coffee shop. Like a Tim Hortons got approved because it's like literally one of two coffee shops for 100 kilometers or 50 kilometers, right? So, yes, it's a chain, but when you go there in the summer, you're waiting 30 minutes to get a cup of coffee on the weekends. Like, now, it's ridiculous.
Now, Niantic was smart. They didn't include any pictures on this one because I think this is incredibly nuanced. If you notice, almost all of the other ones have some type of photograph. Now, Chris, this is what I want to ask you. In a rural area, if there's a Chili's, let's say it's, I don't know, I'll throw out just X city in Canada or X city in North Carolina, right? Let's just say it's Albemarle, North Carolina, which is a very small town in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And let's say Chili's is like one of the only restaurants in there. And they have a Chili in front of the building. And if you didn't know it was a restaurant, you might think, oh, that's a cool. Would you be in favor of doing, now that is kind of a corporate logo, but what would you think about that? If someone nominated that in a rural area, if that's the only thing, or a, what's the buffet chain we have here? Golden Corral. And sometimes the Golden Corrals will have an actual Golden Corral out in front of the building, and people will try to nominate that.
I think if it's rural enough, you should go for the restaurant. Because that's, if it's rural town, then that's probably one of the big social hotspots where people kind of go for dinner. If you're going out for dinner, that's where you go, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that you would kind of sell that and go for the restaurant there.
Okay. I don't normally like having double standards, but I think in this day and age, we need to help out the rural trainer, the rural explorer as much as we can. And big cities have a lot. Like, we were in New York last year. We're going to be in New York this year. New York has stuff. Manhattan is residential, but it's not residential at the same time. So there's places where people live that have legitimate POIs, where in Oshawa or Charlotte, like at my house, there's nothing legitimate in my neighborhood that I can put in. But if I live in Manhattan in a high-rise building, there's 50 things in the lobby that can be nominated that, you know, is not necessarily considered single-family residence. So I think we need to help out the rural trainer as much as we can. And if we need to give them a little deference, I'm all for it.
Yep, absolutely. It's funny you bring up apartment buildings and stuff. We're going to talk about that in a little bit because that's one of the clarification sections that come up too. So yeah, 100%. Absolutely. There are things in rural communities that, because they're rural and because it's unique to that area, that are eligible that would not be eligible in other places. So nuance, people, nuance.
Nuance. Looks like we're skipping out of order again, aren't we? Oh, we're skipping out of order here. Wow. All right. So the next one we're going to talk about is Little Free Libraries. All right. So Little Free Libraries, or commonly referred to as LFL, can be eligible for nomination, but their location is critical to whether or not they can be accepted. So Little Free Libraries within safe access on sidewalks, outside of apartment buildings, or on municipal or communal property are eligible. Those on single family private residence. We have a new term here. It's not, It's not PRP anymore. It's SFPRP, single family private residence. So we have a new term. Those are ineligible. All right. So let's unpack this here a little bit. Because you guys know, Little Free Libraries are near and dear to my heart. We did an entire episode on road verges, which is incredibly nuanced, where I try to sell to the entire world why Little Free Libraries on road verges should be eligible. And I don't remember the number of the episode we did, but it might be flashing in one of the corners of the screen, maybe or maybe not. Not sure. It might be. But all right, let's take a look at the pictures here. So for our audio listeners, if you get a chance, you can come back and watch the YouTube version, or you can go and take a look at number, I think it's 11 or 12 on the forums. So the first one shows it's a thumbs up. So the Little Free Library in this picture is an example of a waypoint, of an eligible waypoint. It's on public property. It's well-maintained. It faces the sidewalk and does not block access to the driveway. And it also allows users to gather in a safe place. So essentially what you're looking at, it looks like it's a church maybe or some type of building. Mm-hmm. And there's a Little Free Library next to some hedges, and there's a clear sidewalk there. And it's permanent, and it faces the sidewalk, and it's a good place where you can come and get a book, leave a book, and kind of keep it moving, and also use it for a POI in one of Niantic's games. Now, the next one we want to show you is a picture of one that is not eligible. So again, for our audio listeners, the location above is a good example of a Little Free Library that may be ineligible, and it should not be accepted. So this little Free Library cannot be accessed safely by pedestrians on foot. So it doesn't face the sidewalk. It's sitting at the edge of the road, but the opening of the Little Free Library is facing the street. So you can only access it by facing the street, not by facing the sidewalk. So if a Little Free Library is placed on eligible property, but in such a way that visitors may obstruct the entrance, it may encourage trespassing, or it may present danger from nearby traffic, those should be considered ineligible. So if you're thinking about putting up a Little Free Library in your area, make sure it faces the sidewalk. It doesn't face the street. So, you know, I'm okay with this, Chris. The way this is written, I'm okay with this because it makes sense. If it's on the road verge, but it's facing the road, then I don't want to. It's not a drive-through, right? So I'm actually okay with this. When I first saw it, it was like, oh, I got lots of teasing last night from people when some of these came out. Oh, Jamal, what are you going to do now? So I got the business. I got the business from some people.
I bet you did.
But this, it makes sense. Like, I would not advocate for that second picture where the Little Free Library is facing the street. It needs to be facing the sidewalk. So I'm good with this. No drama here. Yeah. We're all good.
And there was a different post where somebody had a Little Free Library that was in, like, there was property, sidewalk, and then there's the what they call the road verge, right, between the sidewalk and the street. And there was like a Little Free Library in that area, and I don't remember if someone appealed it or someone tried to get it removed, but Niantic was like, no, it's okay because it's not on technically private residential property. And people were like, hold on, that's not what you've said before. And right. I think this is why this is so important.
Yes,
because that little area, and you've said this before on that mm-hmm. show, that little area is owned by the city.
Correct.
And that is what they call, municipal property.
Yes, municipal. Right? That's such a better way to say it than road verge.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So if it's on that piece of land facing the sidewalk, you could access it from the sidewalk, which is municipal property. You're good. And that's kind of where I disagreed for a long time, because mm-hmm. Niantic said, well, if it's close to single family PRP, then it's ineligible. And they've kind of backed off on that a mm-hmm. little bit, saying if you can access it without trespassing, no, we're good. Right. So I think that was, this is a big one. This is going to get a lot of people some home stops,
because
little free libraries in their front of their house or some front of their
I'm going to give it a week. I'm going to give it a week for people to kind of internalize this and digest it. And I've got a bunch of nominations that are sitting in red in my Wayfair that are not accepted. and I'm going to put them back in the system.
Nice. Nice. Love it. All right. Let's move on to, that was not the right button. Shopping plazas.
Shopping. Oh, now we're jumping back. Oh, okay. All right.
Now we're jumping back because this one's important to me because I've had the same shopping plaza rejected twice.
Yes.
Plazas can be great places to socialize and explore. Large shopping centers or strip malls can be destination attractions and cultural hubs. They may contain outdoor social space, shops, and businesses, which, while not on their own eligible, together become an interesting place to visit. Supporting text should demonstrate why these are great places to be social and not just conduct business. So if you've got like an industrial complex, not eligible, because that's not a great place to be social. That's just kind of people, they hop in and out to get nuts and bolts and tools and stuff, right? But if you've got a plaza that has shops that people kind of walk around in, or you can go with your family for an excursion and just kind of go window shopping, that's eligible. If it's got three or four different restaurants that on their own are chain restaurants, as a whole, that area becomes a good place to socialize. If it's got other things, like, it's just, they're eligible.
Yes.
They've said this is eligible, and I think this is fantastic. And no, I've had
this is great.
Several approved, and one specific one I just cannot get through, and I don't know why. It's got two restaurants in it, and it's got like a sports shop in it.
I can't wait.
It's got a couple other things in it.
So. I can't wait. I posted on the forums last night that I have 10 of these that have been rejected. I am ready to go. So, Chris, now, the way I'm reading this, and I want to read this sentence, and I want to be very intentional about this. Businesses which on their own are not eligible, but together can become an interesting place to visit. So, one of mine was rejected because it had a tobacco, CBD, one of those shops in it. And you know, and I posted that on the forums on, or on Reddit or somewhere. And someone was like, no, it's got all these adult businesses in there. And, it, you know, the CBD place and the lingerie place would make it ineligible. And I'm like, if I was nominating the CBD place, I get it. But
yeah,
there's a store in there and there's a boutique. And there's a secondhand store and a Goodwill, like it's a big plaza. And just because there's one sticker on the sign that says CBD doesn't make everything ineligible. So this one here, I'm going to go ahead and say it. This one here is a shout out to all the gatekeepers. You got to stop. You got to stop. These are eligible. We have said this for going on a year now. These are eligible. Stop it. Put your personal bias aside and accept my dang nominations. Okay, Chris, continue.
100%. Absolutely. Right. And here's the line for me. Yes, it's got a vape shop. Yes, it's got a CBD place. Yes, it's got a lingerie store. But if it has other things, like if I could go there with my kids and go shopping at that boutique or go shopping at that secondhand store that my kids love to go to, right? Or if I could meet my parents at a secondhand shop because they want to spend some time with the grandkids and maybe buy them a little toy that they find in the secondhand shop. Yes, there's a lingerie store beside, but I'm not going in the lingerie store, am I? I'm socializing with my friends or my family in this store.
Yes.
It's not eligible by itself, but it's part of the mall, so it is.
Yes.
Stop it. It's eligible.
Stop it. Stop it.
Stop it.
All right. Moving along.
Stop it in this show.
Stop it.
What do we got?
Wait a minute. I get to roll up the newspaper and smack somebody, and I don't get smacked this time. I love it. And it feels better doing the smacking than getting smacked.
It does.
All right. All right. Moving right along. So this one is a really good clarification. This is one that, like, I think we all know, and I think everybody kind of pushes the limits a little bit here. And it reintroduces us to our new term, which I have to get comfortable using. SFPRP. Single family residential properties. Farms and K-12 schools facilities primarily focused on persons under the age of 18 years of age are ineligible. This includes the outer facing facade, fences of these locations, and other property boundaries are not eligible. So this has come up on the forums and in our Discord a couple of times where someone's like, it's not the school, it's the outer fence of the school. No, that's the school. So I'm glad they clarified that because you really want to stay as far away from K-12 as possible. That includes their border. Just leave it alone. Objects in or upon apartment blocks, gated communities, or their shared spaces may be eligible, assuming they otherwise meet other criteria and are intended to be assessed by a community, even if not everyone is eligible to get in there. So a good example of that is a POI on the side of a boat dock or a marina, where I don't have a boat, but I can still go to the marina and interact with the POI. I don't have to be a member of that marina to go there. Communal spaces have the potential to be eligible locations for waste spots. For example, a mural in an entrance foyer, an outdoor exercise area, or a dedicated social space. So these are great clarifications here. I love this. I think this will make this a lot easier for reviewers, and it'll keep people from doing that hand-wringing and skipping things.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of things that have gotten rejected in the past for a lot of people. They're just like, oh, it's in an apartment building, it's not eligible. It's like, now it is.
Yes, look, right.
They wrote the words, it's eligible. Right. So, right. Loving this one.
Yep, loving it.
I'm going to preface this with rest in peace to our Australian friends through this one. Survey markers. Survey markers can be eligible if they meet the acceptance criteria for encouraging exploration. Good examples can include survey markers located at the peaks of hills and mountains, at the ends of peninsulas, or on other noteworthy local landforms, so long as they can be accessed by pedestrians. Basically, it's got to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Survey markers are not inherently eligible, and reviewers should evaluate each one based on the wayfarer criteria. Mass-produced markers, even when stamped with a unique identification number, are not eligible if they are located in unremarkable locations. And that is this one kind of calling out the Australians with their love of those little
now,
circle.
You know who this is going to make the happiest in the world? Woodwolves.
Yes.
Woodwolves is like smiling somewhere right now. He's like, I've won. I did it. Woodwolves is like having the best day because he hates these.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if he was the biggest driver behind this one being one of the topics, because he's an ambassador now.
So. For sure. All right. What do we have next, Chris? What's up next?
Next, I believe, is one of your favorite topics, and I feel bad for you on this one. I really, really do. It's disc golf. Golf and disc golf courses. So take it away.
All right. Okay. All right. All right. Both sports are a great way to exercise and socialize. You know, when something starts off like that, it's kind of like you're going to get broken up with. Chris, you know, you're a really great guy. I really enjoyed our time together. You know, you're kind of like, oh boy, here we go. When I read this, all the other ones start off very straightforward. This one is, you know, almost like there should be some soft music playing in the background. Both sports are great ways to exercise and socialize. Wayfarer regards the whole course / play area in each sport as one field of play. Now it's like, okay, now I see that, you know, we're starting to go downhill here. Mm-hmm. This means there should be one way spot, which could be the first tee or marker at the start to represent the whole course. The individual start and end points of each section of the course should not be submitted. There is a potential that other qualifying objects exist within the large area of course. If individually eligible, these may be submitted for consideration. As with other sports areas, pin placement of any object within the course should not result in any interference in play. Careful consideration should be given when assessing a nomination at a course with regard to safety concerns. Baskets in disc golf and golf holes should not be accepted, as there is a clear safety risk associated with standing next to them. Now, 97.5% of this I do not disagree with. I don't. There are parts of this that I do disagree with, but I will follow the rules. Now, the Niantic, I think they wrote this for me. They kind of threw me a bone here, Chris. No, let's start off with what I agree with. So I don't think you should nominate the basket. I've never, ever, ever, ever said, yeah. ever said you should nominate the basket. I've been a big proponent of nominating the tee off at a disc golf, because if you've ever played disc golf, there's like four dudes or girls or whomever. You're all standing at the tee off waiting for everybody to throw the frisbee. That's a clear gathering area, but nobody stands around the basket. So let's just put that out there. I've never been a proponent of the basket. Now, I have said in the past that I feel that the tee offs and the sign that says, you know, hole one, hole two, hole three could essentially be looked at as trail markers, right? This is saying, no, there should be one for the entire course, right? It's kind of like, yeah, when a bill becomes a law, you might not like the law, but you follow it. So, but what they did throw me a bone on, and this is what I picked up on, this is there is the potential that other qualifying object exists within the large course. If individually eligible, these may be submitted for considerations. And what you have up on the screen there is an example of that. So there's a golf course that I frequent that I did not nominate the golf holes, but the golf course is named after a prominent member of the African-American community. He's got his own golf course, and it kind of tells his story over these. There's rocks placed over the course, and on these rocks it's kind of like how he started off in golf and how he ended up being a member of the PGA Hall of Fame. And it tells a story as you walk the course. There's these rocks, civil rights story, honesty, different things and names you see it on the screen there. So I think Niantic threw me a bone there, and this is probably why these went through, because this was a recent one where it's not the golf hole, it's not the tee off, but it's things on the golf course that as a member of the public, you can walk this course and not play and see those things. And this is a good way to draw people to understand what this story is.
Yeah, and those are fantastic example of thinking outside the box and finding things that are eligible where you might not normally, right? So Niantic said that the individual holes aren't eligible, but these are, right?
Yep.
So that's a good way to get them in. So I think that's fantastic. What do we got? Oh, this was another big one.
Yeah.
Another big one. Oh, I did it again. People watching the YouTube are watching me screw up going back. Trails and markers.
Mm.
So bear with me. I want to read this whole page. I put in the notes, just read the page. So, trails that encourage following a specific official route by walking are great places to be social, exercise, and explore. You've nailed all three categories with the trail. The trail is the interesting feature. Trail markers are tangible anchor points that define the route of the trail on the Wayfarer map. A trail marker itself need not be an interesting object. Niantic appeals reviewers, are you listening? A trail marker itself
you're calling them out in 4K, need not aren't you?
Be an interesting object. Thank you, Niantic, for that. There are several. I didn't even do it. There you go. Applause.
Applause. Give it to me.
Blah blah blah. These types of trail markers are definitely eligible way spots. They look official and permanent. It would be great if the description included what is it interesting about this trail, what sites it offers, or what it offers the community. When nominating, consider giving it a unique name to show that these trail markers are distinct. Don't just put your title as trail marker, trail marker, trail marker, trail marker, trail marker one, trail marker two, trail marker intersection, trail marker, you know, before the hill. Just make them unique so they're not every single one just this boring off trail marker.
Right. And the examples generic, they put on here are great.
Yes. Yeah. Generic utility identifiers and street furniture such as street names or car traffic directional signs and bike lane signs, etc., are not eligible.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at that one a little closer.
This one's fantastic. It's two white signs with kind of the arrows on it. So the rectangle with an arrow on the end. It's on a nice little wooden pole. They've got the city logos on there.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like an EU logo on there. And it's got this path is that many kilometers this way. Go down this one. And then this many kilometers, you'll be here. It's a fantastic trail marker. It's got two different directions. There's trees in the background. It's a great shot. Says this marker includes various official logos, a trail name, direction arrows, specific places and distances that are clearly unique to this location. There's another one. It's a green sign. It says number 611, public footpath this way, bridle way to Birchencliff that way. Please control your dog having a litter, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, although no specific name is provided on the marker above, it is clearly official, permanent, and unique. There's another one. That it's just a circle. It's a metal circle with Northwest Greenway Trail on it and a little green arrow with a leaf in the middle. Probably mass produced for this trail, but it has the trail number. It's beside a street, has a logo on it, and it's got directions on it. So it's good. This is a good one for me. I can't click on that one, which really makes me mad.
Yeah, that's a really good one because this is one that people talk about on the forums a lot. So I'm glad they put this example in there.
Yep. It's a wooden pole post, and it's got two yellow circles on it. One is pointing up and to the right, one is pointing up and to the left, and it's a decision point on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it says, although these are mass produced, they are official and at a decision point. The object and its function are unique. The supporting photo and website of the route will help verify this rural location. So I want to bear with me right here while I talk, while I do this. I appealed. Let me see if I can find it here. This is something that I tried to get in a while ago, and it's a wooden post, and it's a decision point. So there's the trail forks in two different directions at this point in the trail. One of them, it's got a green square with a leaf on it, and it's up and to the right, saying if you want to continue into the nature, you go up and to the right. But if you want to go back to the parking lot for this trail, for this whole trail area, you go to the left. That's a decision point.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
When I appealed this in 2020, they said, thanks for the appeal, Explorer. The object in question does not meet Wayfarer criteria as it is generic. So this is still not in the game. I'm going to go out there and nominate this again.
Is that more than 25 kilometers from where you are right now?
No, actually. I could probably do it from home.
You could do it from home. There you go. Nice.
I just need to read down on those pictures and find this pile of my... But I think this is good because they're saying there's a lot of discussion about trail markers on the forums recently, and a lot of very unhappy, upset people because Niantic's been doing some things with trail markers. So it's good that they've clarified this and said, listen, it doesn't have to be a necessarily unique object. As long as it's permanent and serves a purpose on the trail, it's eligible. And there's one ineligible things. This is just street signs, right? It's European and they look kind of decorative and stuff, but it's street signs, so they're not eligible, right? So if it's on the street, it's not eligible.
Which I agree with. Street signs, I'm fine with that.
Yep.
I'm fine with that.
So that trail markers, I think, is one of those things that we could probably dedicate a whole show to, and we might.
Mm-hmm.
We might once, and I wrote in the bottom of this, and I'll get to it later, but we might dedicate a whole show to a couple of these at some point.
Because it needs it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What are we doing next? Oh, okay.
Playgrounds.
All right.
I was going to skip the next two, but there's some stuff in here that I think that we need to talk about real quick.
Yeah. Hold on. I got to find playgrounds over here. All right. So we skipped way over this one. All right.
Way.
So this is one also, Chris. So you were paying attention to Discord last night. This is one that people came after me also. Last night. So I'll read this. Yeah. Playgrounds meet criteria for exercise, exploration, and socialization as long as they are not located on a single family private residential property. That's a mouthful. I still might call it ERP. Or K through 12 school can be considered eligible, right? So playgrounds should be nominated as a whole, not individual playground items. Ouch. Ouch, really? Let me read that again. Playgrounds should be nominated as a whole and not individual playground items. I might have to file an appeal on that. Okay. Even if the area includes separate slides, climbing frames, sandboxes, and or swings, there should be one waste spot nomination marking them as a collection. If there are separate, clearly divided playgrounds for younger children and older children as below, each of them can be nominated individually. So for our YouTube folks, what you're seeing is kind of like a, what we would call in Charlotte, kind of like a tot lot. Mm-hmm. Which is like you see those signs all the time, mainly at churches, a tot lot and then something for the bigger kids. So the images above show separate play areas intended for two groups of children, two different groups of children. And the next picture just shows just kind of some random, it almost looks like a clothing rack. But it's like a,
that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a clothing rack. Yeah. Where you would like hang your clothes on outside. For example, a carpet beater. Oh, it's carpet beaters pictured above. It's a piece of utility equipment, and therefore it's not eligible. So this is one of those where I don't necessarily agree with the rule, but I'll follow it. In the South, we have some very large playgrounds that might span three or four different cells, right? If you're looking at a map, like the swings might be far on the left, and the slide might be far on the right, and they're like, call it 30 meters apart, right? 30 meters apart, 30 feet, 10 yards, whatever it is. So it's not like they're right on top of each other. I may, Niantic, if you're listening, still nominate those as two different, because if it takes me 3 minutes to walk from one to the other, I consider that a separate POI, yes, but I understand what they're saying. If it's like, you know, it's in the little, it's got the bark dust and they're all in the circle, that's one. I get it. But like at my park, there's a gazebo in the middle. The swings are on one side of the gazebo and the playground is on the other side of the gazebo. And on the third side, there's another play area. So there are three distinct areas. So I think this is one that is going to, I'll go by the letter of the law, but I think there's some nuance baked into this one.
I think so. Here's my interpretation of this, right? And some of the stuff is open to interpretation, and I'm glad that we didn't skip this section. I almost did, right? In the picture, you've got a playground and a swing, and they're both on the same pad.
Yes, yeah, that's, you know, what I'm talking about. They're on
newly built playgrounds, yes. Now they're not built on sand, they're built on kind of like foam rubber, yep, padding, right? So to me, that's one, because it's contained within the same unit.
Correct.
Where there's a park here that's got a playground, and then there's a seating area, some benches, and then swings. To me, those are separate because they're separated physically by a barrier.
Correct. Right? I agree with that.
And in your situation, if you've got like a playground and then a gazebo and then a swing set, those are separated. Like the gazebo is eligible.
Yeah.
So those two would be, I think that this is targeting the people who are just like, okay, I'm going to nominate this playground. And then right beside it, that little horse that you can kind of go and rock back and forth on. There's seven of them. Yeah. I'm going to nominate all seven of them. Well, and then I'm going to nominate.
So if we're looking at that first picture, like you're saying here, like in the back for our audio listeners, it's like a typical stereotypical playground. So that back left, yep, corner with the blue kind of covering on it, somebody might nominate this. And then in the foreground, the yes, yellow pole with the red on top, they nominate both of those. That's all one. That's what you're talking, yes, about. So yeah, I agree, yep, with that 100%. Yep. You can't get two out of that. That's one. But if there was, right, a, like behind it, you see there's some sidewalk and there's those trees. If there was another blue pad over there with another swing set, that would be a separate POI.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're 100%, on the same page. Because it's, yep, physically separated.
Yep. We're on the same page. 100%.
Stop nominating every single roly-poly rock and roll thing that I don't even know what the word I'm looking for.
Right, I do. The little thing that looks like a Tepig that you sit on and rock back and forth. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Stop nominating those. last, but certainly not least, another one that I was going to skip, but I realized that I wanted to real quick talk about it. Parks don't need a sign.
Yes.
It's essentially the gist of this. Parks are great places to explore, exercise, and socialize. A nomination can be made for a park even if the park does not have a physical sign, but is clearly a park.
Ooh, this is a little personal there, huh?
It is, because I nominated the entranceway to a park once, and I made the mistake of including the rules sign in my picture.
Yeah.
And it got rejected. And I was like, I appealed it. I'm like, no, this is a park. I'm nominating the park. And then Niantic came back with, no, that sign is generic. You can't. I'm like, but I wasn't nominating the sign. I gotta go out and try it again. But parks don't need a sign.
Parks don't need
things
a sign.
Don't need a sign. If it's eligible, it's eligible. It doesn't need a sign.
That's right.
This all stems from, I think, one post on the old forum years ago where one of the Niantic employees was like, oh, if that had a sign, it would be much easier to get it in. And people were like, they said it. They said it needs a sign. They said it needs a sign. I'm like, oh, no. There you go. It's in like six different sections.
Yes. Sign. I love it. I love it. I love it.
All right. Any final word comments on this?
Nope. I think we talked it to death, but I think it was good. Cool. We hardly talked about the challenge, so we'll talk about next week with the results, right? So I think this was much more important to go over than the challenge.
No, for sure. 100%. And we'll do, fingers crossed, Niantic doesn't derail my episode of removing stuff and map integrity. And again, we'll talk about that next week. We're going to skip Tales from Canada this week. I have a really good story, but it's a bit of a long one, and we're already at a minute or an hour 13. So let's take a break. We'll play some dad jokes and we'll come back.
What happens when a trainer has a love for radio and a love for Pokemon? You get Good Morning Johto. My name is Lane, here to bring you caffeine for your ears, your daily Monday through Friday small 10 to 15 minute show, bringing you Pokemon Go news, Pokemon TCG, and sometimes a little bit of Scarlet and Violet as well. So if you like radio fun and some Pokemon Go news with my partner Pokemon here, Ludicolo, join us here at GMJ every Monday through Friday, and we are proud to be a part of the Pokemon Professor Network.
Sir Amanda here. Rumor has it, a review a day keeps a doctor away. Is that how it goes? You are listening to the Wastewaters Podcast.
This is Genji, and we are listening to the Wastewaters Podcast Show.
This is David from As the Pokeball Turns, and you're listening to the Wastewaters Podcast.
Are you serious? This again? It's season 3.
To the person that created Zero, thanks for nothing. Why did the pharmacist walk on her tippy toes? She didn't want to wake the sleeping pills. Why does everyone in the U.S. wear a tank top? Because they have the right to bear arms. Or they just want to be like Tostik. I always thought orthopedic shoes were overrated. Well, I stand corrected. Which U.S. state has the most streets? Rhode Island. Did you hear about the cheese factory that caught on fire and exploded? Yeah, there was nothing left but debris. And sorry, that was cheesy. So my buddy's going to Myrtle Beach for the first time, and he asked me, Jamal, what should I take? Penicillin. Lane, take penicillin.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the dad jokes this week. We are going to jump straight into Wayspot of the Week.
Let's take a look at a beautiful example of what the Wayspotters podcast thinks you should be nominating. We proudly present the Wayspot of the Week.
Wayspot of the Week this week. Let me pull it up. is from Agent X in the Pokemon Professor Network Discord, and it is not necessarily a Wastebot nomination, but a new photo that was added to the Wastebot. So if you lived in the northern section of the U.S. earlier this week, we had some northern lights, some solar flares caused some northern lights way further south than they normally did. And
it was beautiful.
Agent
was...
X came across this, and this is, so it is a shelter. There's a picnic table underneath a shelter. There's some legs on the back, and it's just kind of like a roof over a picnic table area. And it looks like there's a bunch of hills in the background, and it's in a little bit of a deserty area.
Mm-hmm.
And the original picture is really cool, but the new one
that's amazing right there
of this enclosure from a different angle, so you can see stairs kind of going up to it. But the background is the northern lights, and it just looks phenomenal.
That's great picture. Like,
fantastic.
I don't know if you could recreate that with the painting. Like, that's art right there. That's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Me and my wife drove after work the one day. We drove about 20 minutes north so we could get out of the city so we could try and see some of it. We didn't get to see much, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. So thank you, Agent X, for posting this.
Yeah, great shot, Agent X. Love it.
So let's move on to something that's not so great. Coal of the week.
I've been working on the Wayfair all the livelong day. I've been working on the Wayfair just to pass the... Uh-oh. Oh, no. Hey, Jamal. I found some coal.
All right, so Coal of the Week number one comes to us from friend of the show, Elf from Space in the Pokemon Professor Discord. And for those of you who are following on audio, I want to kind of describe to you what you're looking at. So what you see is a beautiful scene of a lake, and there's a dock that kind of goes out into the water, and or a pier that goes out into the water that leads to the dock. And the title of this one is Hidden Fishing Pier. The Hidden Fishing Pier is located on the trail two at Rockville Lake. All right, so you're thinking, Jamal, what makes this coal of the week? Well, let me tell you what makes this coal of the week. If you zoom in on this pier and this dock, that's not safe. Part of Wayfair is making sure that you are nominating something where you can safely gather, have fun, socialize. I wouldn't let my dog step on that pier. That thing, the first person that stands on that thing is tipping over and you're going into the drink. That's cold of the week right there. That's asking for somebody to get wet. And hopefully you don't have your phone in your pocket. That's not a good place to stand and fish from. Would not fish from there. Cold of the week.
No, definitely not. I've had enough experience with things like this to tell you that is going over. You can put you're right. If your dog were to walk out there, that thing's going into the drink.
Yep, dog's going in the water.
Not good.
Yep.
All right. Coal of the week number two comes to us from executive producer of the Wastebotters podcast, Kate the Cons, also from the Pokemon Professor Network Discord. And this is, she got this in her challenge reviews. So it is a cell phone tower, essentially, is what it is, which in and of itself is not eligible.
Not eligible. But
allow me to read the description. And I've done this to myself, so bear with me here.
Okay.
Sushin Jotai no Ein Denpa, Tino Shita di Pokemon Tsukamayo, which translates to "Let's catch Pokemon under a radio tower with good reception." Not eligible. That is coal. You can't mention Pokemon, and it's a radio tower.
It's so. it's two times coal. Two times coal.
Yeah. Two times coal.
Yes. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
So, coal of the week. That is it, I think. That is a show. A bit of a longer one. If I'm being honest with myself, I think we got through that rather quickly.
Yes.
I was worried that this would be like an hour and a half. But it definitely needed to be talked about. We definitely needed to kind of highlight this because the Wayfair team did some really, really, really good work with this. The ambassadors did some really, really, really good work with this. So kudos to all of them. Kudos to the whole group. It's fantastic. There's some stuff that we still need clarification on, but this is just a reminder. This is just stuff that they've already clarified before.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't any new clarifications. This isn't any groundbreaking. This is just kind of them compiling all the information and putting it out there for us in one consolidated place. And I think this has been desperately needed for a very, very long time. Sure. So
yes. And we can stop referring to 22 and 23 and 19 mm-hmm. and all of these other AMAs. Yep. Like, we've got a definitive guide now. And I think as long as this is a start, we're in good shape.
Yes. Scarny Mouth posted one of the comments. I didn't get to read all of them, but one of them was clarification on neighborhood signs, please.
Yeah. So,
that is definitely one of the other ones that kind of needs clarification.
So, yep.
If you've got nothing else, I'll go ahead and sign us off. All right. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Waste Waters. We really appreciate it. A big thank you goes out to our executive producer, Kate the Cons, and to all of our Patreons. We could not do this without you. Thank you so, so much. Now, if you've enjoyed this episode of Wastewaters, there are a few ways you can show us. Follow us on all of our socials. We are on Twitter at Wastewaters, also on Instagram at Wastewaters Podcast, and on TikTok at I Make Wastebots. We are incredibly responsive and love interacting with our followers. Let us know what you thought about today's episode. You can also visit our website, www.wastewaters.com. From there, you can get links to everywhere you can download the show. You can also send us a message directly from the website or email us, wastewaters@pokemonprofessor.com. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to hit the like button, subscribe, and click the bell to be notified whenever we post a new video. For those who still need to, be sure to check us out. We post shorts for the Dad Jokes, Wastebot of the Week, Call of the Week, and more. We are on YouTube at youtube.com/@wastewaterspodcast. You can leave us a voicemail on our hotline, 704-426-3710, or tweet us a voice message. You never know, your voicemail may appear on an upcoming episode of the show. Finally, if you are not a member of the Pokemon Professor Network Patreon, you can join for as little as $1 US a month. All you need to do is go to patreon.com/pokemonprofessor. You will have access to the Discord for the entire family of shows across the Pokemon Professor Network, including Wastewaters, Special Conditions, Gotta Watch Them All, Purified Podcast, Good Morning Johto, and Lured Up. It's a fantastic place filled with fantastic people. Jamal and I are active in the Discord a lot, so come and hang out. We would love to have you. With that, we look forward to you joining us again next week here on the Wastewaters Podcast. We appreciate all of the support we get each week. We could not do this without all of you. And remember,
it's not that far. Get out of your car.